from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
We want to see growth from week 1 to week 2. Make sure our standard is our standard, and let's see growth in each individual and in our unit from last week to this week.
Mike Danger.
Dorian Williams is a player who is younger, probably a little bit more athletic, certainly has more tread on the tires than Matt Milano does at this stage of his career. Can a guy step up and seize that opportunity if he gets called on to do so?
Gene Battaglia.
And in the third round, they did not need to draft Dorian Williams, but he's there, and this is a guy that can help us, and maybe Dorian Williams becomes that guy. Matt Milano is that guy. Well, when he's healthy.
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
All right. I think that says it all. We can kind of pack it up and call it a season. What do you say, Gino?
That's it.
Wow. Welcome into the sports bar. It's a somber day. We get the Bills practicing at Acrisure Stadium with the joint practice with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But the news of the day today is Matt Milano missing a good chunk of the season here with a torn biceps and surgery. And if we're lucky, he returns in December.
We kind of read the defense on this one a little bit yesterday when Bobby Babbage spoke to the media and was asked about Matt Milano. Hey, what was that in practice yesterday? I can't talk about that. That's it. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, if it was nothing, be like, what are you talking about? Everything's fine. We'll see Matt out there.
Yeah.
So, something's up. We didn't know to what extent. Boy. 30-year-old Matt Milano, another major injury. And I know people say, hey, you could be back in December. What does the world look like in December? Like, are the Bills going to be a contender? I think they will be, certainly. But this is a blow for the Buffalo Bills not having one of their top playmakers.
So everything was confirmed by Sean McDermott at his press conference earlier today. Torn biceps, out indefinitely. After returning from that fractured leg that ended his season last year in week 5, where the injury was suffered is interesting. McDermott said that the team believes it was suffered while doing a tackling drill, but tackling one of those bags, those dummies.
Yeah, a tackling dummy.
Yeah.
Maybe he bumped with a leg, and I don't know how that would have been with a tackling dummy.
Yeah.
But
freakish. A freakish kind of injury there at practice on Tuesday, and the majority of Matt Milano's season now looks to be over. We'll see if we get him back maybe in December with the torn biceps. Joining us this afternoon in the sports bar to react, and I think a couple of people actually went right to this, and we can ask him about this when he joins us later this hour. Greg Thompson, Cover One. What does this look like next year for Matt Milano? What is Matt Milano's future with the Buffalo Bills, knowing that he's going to miss the majority of this season, and what's ahead? Are there cap ramifications if you move on from Matt Milano next year? What if Dorian Williams shows up and makes you forget the name Matt Milano? Like, there's some things to kind of think about here, project and try to predict what could happen here with the Bills, with Matt Milano, and what his future might look like. Greg is our like capologist guy, right?
Well, and they also broke the story today on this. Like, Cover One, give him the credit, so that's why we invited him on. Like, they've got sources, and he put it out there like, hey, this is what I'm hearing. It's a bicep. It's going to be a long-term injury. And then, sure enough, an hour later, Sean McDermott confirming that in the press conference. Maybe it was one of those, really, we kind of suspected, but you got to make sure when you report something like that and give Cover One credit. They got the story there. So we'll talk to Greg Thompson, Cover One, coming up here in a little bit. I'm also curious, one of the topics we talk about, because, okay, yes, Dorian Williams, yes, there's hope. Certainly, you drafted him for this reason. What's behind Dorian Williams now? Like, do we feel good about Baylen Specter and Eddie Olofosio? Well, yeah.
They drafted Eddie O for a reason, and I think you have that with him. All I want to know is that AJ Klein is still retired. That's all I want to know. Just as long as you're telling me that he's still retired and not on speed dial with McDermott or with Bean, I think we'll be okay. I think AJ Klein, the last resort of last resorts, last season when they were thin at middle linebacker and thin at linebacker in general, I'm curious to see how this all looks, because if they've shown us anything through the McDermott and Bean era, it's that they like to bring their guys along. They like to stay with their draft picks. They like to string them along, get them involved, develop them, grow them. And, you know, when I think of guys like Williams, when I think of guys like Baylen Specter, and now certainly Eddie Olofosio, more guys like that that fit that kind of that their type. That's what they want to do.
Yeah, and Williams saw some action last year, and was he great? No, he was not. But this is year two, so can he take kind of that step? But again, I'll say what deserves repeating, what I mentioned yesterday. Like, this was the draft pick in the Bills in the third round. It was not a need. You had Matt Milano. What are we doing spending a third round pick on a backup? Well, sometimes the value there might just have been outweighing any other potential need, and that's why you should feel optimistic that Dorian Williams, based on the promise of where he went in this draft last year, that he could actually step in and be okay. And you get Bernard back, too. I mean, let's not overstate that. Terrell Bernard was great last year, so having him at middle linebacker and then, you know, your guys coming down from the safety position, who knows if they get Taylor Rapp playing a little down more low. Certainly you see Taron Johnson a lot of times coming down low. So it's a defense that doesn't fit any typical mold.
Right. If you want to be optimistic, you can believe that Dorian Williams could have the same kind of rise this year that Terrell Bernard had last year. Spend enough time around the team, around this defense, learning this defense. You're younger, you're athletic. You might see that kind of rise out of Dorian Williams if you believe that he is on the same pathway that Terrell Bernard was on. And we certainly saw what Bernard was capable of doing last season in that role. Dan Lieberfeld, Jets Confidential, stopping by the sports bar in the 4 o'clock hour.
How do you think Dan's going to come down on the Reddick story? Like, how does this play out?
It's funny. We have a similar kind of story, which has unfolded here in the last 24 hours as well, with the Falcons trading for Matthew Judon. They sent a third-round pick to New England. Matthew Judon is now an Atlanta Falcon. But there is no announcement of a new contract for Matthew Judon, which is the whole reason why he was upset in New England. So what does Matthew Judon do now that he goes to Atlanta? Does he pull the same stunt, not show up, hold out, wait for that new deal? Because there was no – well, the team made an announcement of the trade, no announcement on a new deal for Matthew Judon. So it's almost as if the Patriots just said, you know, we want to get this guy out of here and get something for him while we can.
Yeah,
good for them getting a third-round pick.
Yeah, for the Patriots, they're going to be bad this year. They are going to be a bad team.
Feels like a tank.
Yeah.
Feels a little bit like a tank.
It does. It really, really does. And if it's a tank, then don't put Drake May out there. Make sure that he's upright for the following season. Give him a little bit of work somewhere, I suppose, this season. Yeah, do we trust Atlanta's front office that they know what to do with the right thing?
No,
I don't think we do.
Absolutely not.
Well, to bring it back to my question, though. Like, these are the most interesting sports stories. Like, how does the story play out here with Hassan Reddick and the Jets? I could see him. I could see both sides just kind of digging in, and he's not playing.
Right. It's the, well, he's under contract, and we'll just find him, or he's under contract, and he'll show up, but it becomes too painful for him to not show up. Okay.
Well, we've got to ask Dan this, too, because this has been reported by some that, again, in business, until you sign on the line that is dotted, verbals really don't really count. So when it came to last year, there's a report that the Jets last season, offseason, when they traded for Hassan Reddick, that they had kind of the agreement that we're going to just kind of convert some of your base to bonus and give it up front, and that's all we're going to do. And what the Jets are claiming was that Reddick's representation was okay with that, and the deal went through, and then all of a sudden they weren't okay with that. I don't know if that's true or not. We'll ask that to Dan Leberfeld, Jets Confidential, next hour.
And I believe they're doing their joint practice today in Carolina, right?
Yeah, so we're still getting a lot of tweets, a lot of action, not only from the Bills around the league. You've got the Vikings and Browns. This is the trend in the league, and this is actually teams, I think, starting to get in a pattern here, knowing that the preseason may go down to two games. And this is a great way to get work and kind of evaluate. One note I did see today, I think Kyer Elam making news on both ends here for the Buffalo Bills. Can't say it was a fight, but seemed like he did get in a little bit of a dust up and then had to be treated for what apparently was heat exhaustion, but he's okay. But he's done for today's practice, which is still ongoing, last I checked, down in Pittsburgh.
So we'll kind of get some notes gathered here from today's joint practice between the Bills and the Steelers, and of course they'll meet come Saturday night there at Acrisure Stadium. And I know that McDermott spoke earlier, and a lot of what he was talking about today was centered around Matt Milano and that injury. I don't think we got any clarity on how much, if any, Josh Allen reps will get on Saturday night.
No. So we'll have to. Yeah, that kind of took the headlines here, right?
So you need to kind of wait and see.
Yeah.
But I'm curious if he got enough quality reps today in that joint practice in a controlled setting where you maybe don't need to see Josh Allen on Saturday night. But we've got a little bit of time between now and then as well. And, of course, we'll keep you updated here in the sports bar.
I got the opportunity last night to take in something that you took in Saturday. I drove by the new stadium.
Oh, yeah.
The work zone, yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, the first thing that kind of strikes you is like, oh, because most of it or more of it is going to be above ground, this seems bigger. It's exciting when you see this coming. There's no more pit, by the way. And it's like, there's no way you're getting in that facility.
No. Yeah, no, I mean, the stairwells are all kind of formed and you kind of see them working their way up. And the beams, the vertical beams that are up kind of holding things. It's going to be fun to continue to watch the progress of it here week by week and day by day. And, yeah, I mean, a lot of Bills fans can't wait. There are some Bills fans that are kind of sad when they see the stadium, though, too. Like, oh, well, I guess this is the end because the era at Highmark is ending. This new Highmark is going to price me out of my fandom in Buffalo.
Well, as we're driving by this, and my son is 18, Kyle. And you just ask a very simple question, like, why, with the popularity of this team, would they reduce seats? Wouldn't you want to sell more tickets and make more money? I'm like, that's a very good question. It's a very good question, but you obviously charge more and for what is there, and you create the fear of loss. I've heard so many stories that they use the heavy-handed close you now. Feels like everything that you fear in a car sale, all those techniques when you were talking about your PSL.
Of course, yes. For example, let's say hypothetically a PSL is going to cost you $8,000 and you say, well, that's a lot. Maybe what's the PSL price if I move my seats up to the 300 level? And they say, well, we can't promise you that the 300 level seats are going to be there for you.
Correct.
We have to go through.
Correct. So like if you're somebody that has right now upper deck, like why haven't they reached out to me yet? Uh-huh. Because they don't want, you're like the last call here. Just to give you an idea here too, somebody that we know, Danger. Okay. Season ticket holder was waiting for the call. got the call and they call. Once they start calling, they're not going to take no for an answer. You can't zoom in. You actually have to make the commitment, drive to Buffalo, not in Rochester. You would think, hey, just tell me what it is or let me have this virtually. No, you have to go to their stadium experience. Why? Because they want you to sign right there. But here's the tell of the story. So if you're going to make that commitment, driving from Rochester during business hours and you have a job, it's kind of tough. So our friend said, yeah, you know what? The Friday before Labor Day weekend, that would be a good day for me to come out because I can take off from work and there's not a lot going on.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a good day to go out. Don't the Bills call him back and say, you know, we really would like you to move this up because if you come on the 30th, we can't guarantee that your seats will still be there.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think about that? Now, let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, you can't afford to wait till the end of the month.
Yeah.
My friend was like, we're talking 2 weeks here.
Yeah, no.
Like, no. No, we need...
Inventory is moving fast. Oh, they all got to go. Every seat has to go. Our inventory is stocked.
What,
yeah.
What is this? Crazy Eddie's tale?
It is. Hey, God bless you. If you're going through that process, I mean, you can see the stadium and you can view it from a couple of different lenses, right? You can view it through the lens of, oh, this is amazing. This is going to be great. I can't wait to see what this looks like. And it'll be nice with the new amenities. And it'll just be nice to have something new that we can all be proud of and around our football team and around our community. You could certainly view it through that lens. You could also view it through the lens of, oh, my God, this is pricing out everyone who is comfortable going to Bills games right now.
There are some. Most markets have more than us, but some people are like, oh, I don't care. Like, if you're wealthy, what do you care?
Yeah,
like,
right.
10,000. And we're not talking about those people. Like, people like you and me, Danger, like to think, like, wait a second, you want me to pay what? But there are people that, even though we're kind of in the same bracket, so to speak, that aren't going to think twice
about
this. That they're
couldn't be me. I'm not going to judge you harshly or negatively if you're that person. But man, it feels like that's a toy. And if I'm buying a toy, I want to pay for that toy in cash. That's kind of how that I view that. You know what I mean? I don't want to be indebted to anybody. I want to be able to say, all right, my hands are clean. I'll buy what I need to buy. But when I buy it, I'm going to buy it in cash.
Yeah, either that or, okay, I'm going to finance this, and apparently they're offering free financing.
If that's the case, yeah.
If that is the case. But still, okay, do I want to continue to drive this car around, maybe get another 5 years out of it? Oh, what about my kids' college? What if they need help
sure.
here? All these, like, I shouldn't have to weigh things in life like mortgage and car payment and education versus a damn PSL.
Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have to,
no.
But that's the NFL. That's the NFL, and that's, I mean, we've gone down this road. I mean, the NFL is just, it's gangster. It's
really gangster
how they pull it off.
The thing is, when you go drive by it, I mean, in Rochester, we don't have a lot of big new construction. We just don't, okay? But when you see this in Buffalo, this new stadium going up, it's like, whoa, that's a...
Yeah. You can see the cranes for miles.
Yeah.
Wow. There it is. There's the crane and there's the stadium and they're working on it.
Yeah. Especially where the way I came in last night, if you're familiar with the area, Southwestern and McKinley, you can see it for blocks, you know, miles away.
Where was, you were at the Fluffy show last night.
Yeah, I was
night.
At the Fluffy show.
Where was he? Where was the show?
It was at the Erie County Fairgrounds.
Ah, yes, yes.
And here's the funny thing, because we talked to a lot of, I'm not going to mention any names, right? But we have our... Almost to a person when I said, hey, tell me about the Erie County Fair. Like, what? It didn't say, like, why would you want to go there? Or why would you?
So, no, that was the response you got?
Well, no, it was kind of like, oh, yeah, no, I've never been. No, it's kind of, no.
Are you talking about locals in Buffalo or locals here?
Locals in Buffalo.
Ah.
Yeah, since I had never been, I wanted to go to the show.
Yeah.
And, like, basically... The picture, it's like our Finger Lakes where they have their racetrack. It's a smaller version. They kind of set up a stage and you sit in the grandstands if you want. But my gosh, the place was mobbed last night.
Mm-hmm.
But every piece of food that could kill you within 5 years.
Yes.
Fried this and fried that and just the smells and everything else.
You haven't been to a fair in a while, have you?
No.
Yeah.
Well, we used to have the Monroe County Fair. I remember that.
Yep. We don't do that anymore.
No,
right?
It went away. Nobody ever brought it back.
That's funny. I remember growing up and going to the county fair every summer. You get on the tilt-a-whirl, you yak your brains out, you have, you know, just the massive amount of calories, whatever food they're serving up. I did the state fair years ago now to see our guy, to see Mr. Worldwide, to see Mr. 305, Pitbull. Pitbull was there. My daughters wanted to go see Pitbull, so we went and saw Pitbull at the New York State Fair, and that was the first and only time I've been to the New York State Fair, but it was everything that I thought it would be. It was, you know, the livestock and the vendors and the food and the drink and the beer garden. And it's like, okay.
Yeah. And they have the rides, which seem a little bit better than your carnival rides, I suppose. But
yeah. The show was good.
He's excellent.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Laughs. Unlimited LOLs.
Yeah. They did an intermission too. And I'm like, okay, did they do the intermission because he wants the intermission, or that was part of the deal? So everybody will go get another drink. And something.
I'm trying to remember his background. Was he a Saturday Night Live guy?
No. He just does stand up.
Just Gabriel Iglesias just does stand up.
Just stand up.
And how did you get into him? Was it your kids that were into
him? It was the kids. It was the kids and it was the pandemic. And this guy has been doing it since 2012.
Yeah.
He sold out Dodger Stadium. He's he's clean too. That's the thing.
Uh-huh.
Like something to be
not
said.
My brand of humor, boy. I can tell you that. I don't know if I could sit
the
through
thing
it.
Was, I need a little clean, I need... but the guy that was opening for him was
Lil Blue.
Yeah.
I need a little blue. Just a little bit. Not too much. A little bit. I'm lined up for Sebastian in November. Sebastian Maniscalco.
Oh, okay.
That'll be the family outing. Yeah. We'll go see Sebastian at, of course I'm going to go see Sebastian Maniscalco because he's Italian.
Is there an Italian linebacker the Bills can sign to back up?
Matt Milano. What does it all mean? Greg Thompson, cover one. We'll get his reaction to this news. We'll look ahead to the future here and what this might mean for the Buffalo Bills. What kind of a player do the Buffalo Bills have? And Dorian Williams, who's got to step up into a pretty significant role. We'll talk to Greg next on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Bad news for the Bills today. Linebacker Matt Milano suffering a torn bicep in the Tuesday practice. The hope is that he can be back in December. Head coach Sean McDermott on the next man up, Dorian Williams.
Yeah, Dorian's going to do a good job. He's been making progress, and it's now not only his time to step up, but all of his teammates around him to step up. It's not just one person's job to fill the void or try and fill the void left by Matt.
The joint practice of the Bills in Pittsburgh just wrapping up now. Greg Thompson from Cover One will join us next here in the Sports Bar. Rochester Red Wings home tonight against Syracuse on the Major League scoreboard. The Mets are up on the A's 6-5 as they're in the fifth inning there. Middle of the third, the Dodgers and Brewers tied at 3. Gene Battaglin, the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
The beer is cold and the wings are hot. You're in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
This is a chance to kind of get on their terms a little bit and take a little bit of a different approach to practice and see how our players and our team responds to it, coordinators as well. So I think getting a little bit uncomfortable is also good for us.
There's Sean McDermott. Joint practice just wrapping up in Pittsburgh. The Bills in Pittsburgh practicing with the Steelers in advance of Saturday night's Week 2 preseason matchup. We welcome in, the big story of the day, not necessarily the joint practice, although we're interested in what's going on there, obviously. It's the Matt Milano injury. We bring in Greg Thompson from Cover One, who shared this with us, I think, before anybody did. Greg, thanks for joining us, and we have so many questions about what this means for the Bills' defense, what it means for Matt Milano's future with the team. But let's start with what it means for Dorian Williams and what you and your team believe the Bills have in the second-year linebacker.
Yes, it's obviously going to be really interesting to see how he can step forward. On the upside, you can look at last year's emergence of Terrell Bernard, a similar, second-year, third-round linebacker, stepping into a role that a lot of people weren't sure he's ready for. That certainly went much better than anyone could anticipate, even people who were fans of his and supporters of his. I say that to give a silver lining, something to grab to. I don't know that it's fair to expect that kind of leap from Dorian Williams here. And we've obviously done plenty of work on his availability, his upside, and some of the challenges. And right now, I would say we only saw some glimpses in that first preseason game, but we saw maybe a small step forward. And what you see is what we saw a lot of last year. There's elite athleticism. He's explosive. When he analyzes and deciphers the play in front of him well, he explodes to the ball. He makes a big play. He can really make an impact. Unfortunately, the consistency on that diagnosis hasn't been where we need it to be yet, and we're going to need to see a big step forward there. So the good news is he's going to be in between Taron Johnson and Terrell Bernard. Taron Johnson was second-team All-Pro last year. Terrell Bernard played at an All-Pro level and had some recognition in that direction last year, so he's going to need some help. We also saw examples last year where we had Terrell Dotson that was in kind of a platoon scenario where, hey, he's good coming forward, he's good going downhill, he's good to not be his run set. And when it's not, maybe we get into a three-safety dime look. We brought Jordan Poyer down basically as the dime linebacker in those scenarios. So I'm open to creative solutions from Bobby Babich and Sean McDermott on this kind of thing, but Dorian Williams is going to be a big part of that solution, whether it's 100% of snaps or in some kind of platoon, and we're going to see how ready he is.
Yeah, and if it is some sort of platoon, oh boy, because Dorian Williams next man up, and then I'm just looking at the depth chart. There isn't a lot of experience behind Dorian Williams at the weak side linebacker position. Greg, do you expect Brandon Bean here to be taking a serious look as to what might be out there?
So it's kind of tough because there's more of what we already have, which is guys that I used to be really, really excited about. I did entire write-ups on Nicholas Morrow and Deion Jones. At one point, Deion Jones was basically the prototypical modern linebacker, just flying around the field and able to make plays in both the run and the pass. I don't know that either of those guys have that in them. So people are going to go out. They're going to search online available free agent linebackers. They're going to see names that are exciting. They're going to see Shaq Leonard. Maybe people know him when he was an all-pro Darius Leonard, but former Colts linebacker. They're going to see Zach Cunningham. They're going to see a handful of names out there that at one point were flourishing great players. And probably there's a reason that they're not in camp for a team right now. I don't think there's a Justin Simmons is a guy who's still out there, who is still playing at an elite level. I don't think there is a Justin Simmons-type player still available at linebacker. So I won't be upset if we see a Zach Cunningham or a Shaq Leonard brought into camp. I don't know that their play still represents what their name value is. And I think that's why we already have Nicholas Morrow and Deion Jones here. I have a feeling that they are maybe a step forward from what we saw from A.J. Klein last year, but a smart veteran who can diagnose plays, maybe doesn't have the legs they used to, but can be in the right spot. And maybe, honestly, if Dorian Williams isn't ready for this and it's just simply over his head, I could actually see that being the platoon where it's actually first and second down, you see a Deion Jones or a Nicholas Morrow, obvious passing downs, third downs, you see the third safety come in, and we see Cole Bishop, we see Mike Edwards, we see DeMar Hamlin, whoever that third safety, non-starting safety is. Maybe that's the platoon if it's not Dorian Williams' time.
Okay, Greg, a couple of names that we haven't touched on yet at the linebacker position, because I'm curious to get your thoughts on what opportunities might exist for a Baylen Specter or for the rookie, Eddie Alafoscia.
So I do think they're going to be in the running here. I don't know that either of them have shown anything just yet that they're beyond kind of a special teams guy. I will say Edifuwa and Ulofosio, I try to, any opportunity I have to show that I'm capable
Stop
of
showing
that
off,
name.
Greg. I mean, we're the professionals here. What are you doing?
Got to flex when you can. So I think he's a guy who was drafted in the fifth round not because of skill set or athletic ability. He dropped to the fifth round because of injury. He is a good player. He has an exciting profile. Unfortunately, he's already injured in this training camp. He's already been injured in his first NFL training camp. So that kind of situation where, it's unrealistic to think that a guy is going to step in immediately and play as a rookie and do that. I'm open to the fact that he is a talented player and that if he can stay healthy, he has a lot of athleticism and explosiveness, and maybe that does translate. I'd be shocked if he gets that chance here this year, but you never know. These kind of situations force a team's hand to try some different things out. I would say he has more ability from a diagnosis standpoint at weak side and in coverage than a Baylen Specter does. I think Baylen Specter has some ceiling as a Terrell Dotson, a downhill thumper that in base sets, goal line, two tight ends at a fullback kind of formations, he can come on the field and be that guy. I don't think he's the guy we want out in space trying to keep up with a tight end or a running back or a slot receiver.
Greg Thompson, Cover One, is our guest. If you hadn't heard the news, out for a significant time, maybe the year, maybe not, but with a torn bicep, Matt Milano not available. And Greg, I'm trying to wonder what the world is going to look like. Say it is the best case scenario. Say it is December, Matt Milano was out there, and gosh, we're less than 2 years removed from him being an All-Pro, but now you have another significant injury, and it's a difficult question to kind of answer, but at 30 years old, coming off another extended period of time off here, I mean, what could we actually expect out of Matt Milano when he comes out on the other side of this?
So I will say, you know, if we're going to tell ourselves a story where this does work out, the things that we would look to is, one, linebacker is a position that ages reasonably well. Like, there are guys who play, you know, we didn't see a drop-off from Bobby Wagner until 33, 34, into 35. We've seen a lot of guys who are athletic and capable, especially ones that are very, very smart and play at the level that Matt Milano does from an analysis standpoint and diagnosing plays, that ages well. That's something that is able to go forward. You combine that with a bicep injury isn't fun, but it also isn't going to impact his speed or his athleticism. So I think there are reasons you can tell yourself that, hey, maybe this works out and gets back there. I've also seen some of the, you know, the medical experts who know much more about that side of things than I do have said that a bicep injury is pretty consistently a 4 month injury, that it's very doable, even with surgery, that he could be back in December, late December, but in December, and that's very feasible. Like, that would be a normal timeline. That's not wishful thinking or hoping. That's a fairly normal timeline. So maybe towards the end of the regular season, you could be thinking about it. And again, this is kind of the wishful thinking or silver linings version of it. That also gives him more time to recover lower body and to be fully ready and all the way back from the broken bone last year. So, you know, obviously we're not going to know until we see this, but I do think he was ready to play and that we were going to see a very high level. Now, even if he was fully healthy, I don't know if age 30 Matt Milano was exactly the same as age 28 Matt Milano as it was. But I think we were going to see very good linebacker play and a guy who was ready to impact games. And I still expect that. So even if that's later this year or next season, I still expect an impactful player. You know, maybe that's not the All-Pro peak that we saw from him, because, you know, that was really, really elite high-level play with his mind at his peak and his body still giving him everything he had. Maybe we don't see all the way at that level, but I don't think the drop-off is as bad as maybe some people are fearing.
That's interesting. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the life cycle of that position, because you mentioned that he could come back and he could be, you know, somewhat near what we expected him at his peak. The flip side of that, Greg, would be, what if Dorian Williams, who is young, athletic, still, you know, still growing in this league, what if he has the kind of season that we saw out of a younger Matt Milano? And the Bills, I'm not going to say they're going to forget about Matt Milano, but they have a tough decision to make on Matt Milano going into next offseason, because they know what they have now in Dorian Williams, who through the course of the 2024 season had an unbelievable season filling in for Matt Milano.
Yeah, I mean, now you're talking about best case scenario or a good problem to have.
That's right.
That would be phenomenal. Obviously, if Dorian Williams comes in, I think he was already expecting to play a fair amount. They do use a third linebacker here and there. It is something that could come into play. If he now shows he's fully capable, it now really opens up options of being able to utilize him more creatively. We haven't been able – we've been forced to be a 100% nickel team because we have not had linebacker depth. We haven't had other talented guys ready to do that. So I think a lot of people assume that the scheme only utilizes five defensive backs and a nickel all the time because that's our preference. And maybe it is what we prefer, but it might not be as hard and fast of a rule as it was. And if we had three linebackers that were capable and could move the way that those three guys could in this scenario where Williams really takes the role and runs with it, maybe we see more of a mix of that. And if anything, that would let Milano age more gracefully into where we go here. I know I get kind of nerdy with the salary cap. There are not a lot of options with his contract next year. If they were to try to move on, it would cost the Bills $17 million in cap space for him not to be on the team. There are some options when you get into 2026 where there could be some savings. But you know, by far the best chance for everybody is hoping he's able to come back and contribute, because there's not a lot of good coming from the contract standpoint if they feel like they have to move on.
Greg Thompson, Cover One, is our guest because, well, Bills have a little bit of room against the cap here, but you follow this much closer than we do because, well, you could say you have a need at safety, perhaps, at least for depth. We can certainly make that argument. Maybe you need to bring in another wide receiver. Certainly linebacker depth now you add to the mix here. So if Brandon Bean comes across an opportunity and he wants to bring somebody in, how much money exactly do the Bills have to play with right now, Greg?
So I often say, obviously, the salary cap is more like a credit card. Like, you can get kind of crazy every once in a while, but eventually those bills come due, which also means besides a quarterback, any team can fit a player if they really want to. Like, you can move enough things around and make something happen. So I would say, like, Justin Simmons being out there and the Bills not having an obvious starter at safety is a pretty good indicator that I don't think they're going to do anything all that much, because he would have been an awful good fit in this defense and to fit a need, and a very, very clear, for regardless of how big of a fan anyone is of DeMar Hamlin or Taylor Rapp or Mike Edwards or Cole Bishop, none of them are Justin Simmons. So that option was there and available, and he waited an awful long time to try to find it. I think technically still hasn't even signed yet. Some people think he's signing in Atlanta today, but I haven't seen that official. So I have now basically accepted that, okay, I don't think we're going to see anything beyond the kind of moves we have, bringing in Kareem Jackson and Terrell Burgess and Deion Kane and guys who also probably aren't going to make this roster.
All right, so let's...
If something happened here today, I think they could make it. Say there was a guy going to be cut on a Giants or a Panthers or a team not really looking to contend. They could probably fit a $5 to $7 million guy and make it work if they really wanted to.
So look, knowing what we have and hearing what you just said, assuming that they're going to stay put with what they've got at safety, break it down for us, because we Rapp was the only constant at safety throughout the course of training camp here in Rochester. We, of course, saw Hamlin step up into that role with the injuries. Talk a little bit about what Hamlin could look like if he's your week one guy out there with Rapp, or if Bishop is able to ramp it up and get back on the field here and get some reps before the end of the preseason. Did he do enough early in camp, or did he show enough in any of your film study of him that he could be the guy that's out there week one next to Rapp?
So obviously, I think he was a second-round pick for a reason. You even saw in some of the videos where they were afraid that he wasn't going to be there and they needed to trade up for him. So I think we can all read into that they strongly value Cole Bishop. I also thought it was very reasonable that he could have taken that job with a full camp. But, you know, we've seen those situations before with Ramon Humber and Matt Milano and plenty of other examples where guys slowly ease into that role and eventually become the starter. So I kind of had that in my mind going in. That's why you sign a Mike Edwards and you have a DeMar Hamlin and guys like that. So I kind of had that in my head ahead of time, even healthy. Then he misses a huge swath of camp here. So even though I think he certainly was capable of being just so undeniable that, hey, we got to get this guy on the field day one, I think that ship has sailed now. I don't think there's any scenario where he's going to come back in and retake over after losing out on weeks of reps in such a communication-heavy position. But I do still think, if you ask me, hey, who's going to be the starter Thanksgiving weekend of this year at safety, I probably would pick Cole Bishop. Yeah. So my guess is we open with DeMar Hamlin, and that we see that rotation and start to move in Cole Bishop as the season goes, and that he eventually takes that spot. And I do think it'll be next to Taylor Rapp.
Greg, they haven't handed out number 23, and I'm sure you get questions about this a lot. We certainly do, and I'm just wondering, is that just Micah Hyde doesn't want to come to camp? I mean, seems like the door is still open to some extent, but if this were to happen, what would be the realistic timeline? Is it the week leading up to week one? Is it some point in the season, or does it never happen?
I don't think it's never. I don't. I do think that both parties have consciously left that door open enough that it was intentional and that there is an option there. I also think Mrs. Hyde has no interest in him coming back. And I don't think Micah has all that much interest in training camp and all the other, you know, pieces that go into that. So I always kind of thought it was a, you know, we saw Linval Joseph the last couple of seasons where he was kind of a, give me a call around week eight. And he did that for like three seasons in a row, coming in and played like the second half of the season for a contending team. So I don't know if it was, we need one more injury that it would have to really accelerate it of, hey, would you come back now? Or if it was only if there was an in-season injury. He's also not, I know some people have talked about, oh, just add him now to the practice squad. Like, Micah Hyde's only coming back if he's walking in and starting the moment he walks in. He's not coming back to hang out in the locker room and watch from the sideline. So I think if they truly need him and get to that spot where either they have enough internal discussions of, man, we really needed Bishop to step up, or we needed Edwards to stay healthier, DeMar's not ready, we're going to have to make that call, I think they would. But I think everyone hopes they don't have to, or at minimum can wait until during the season and more break class in case of emergency.
Greg, how lucky are we that we get to have this conversation with you? We're heading into week two of the preseason. We've been talking for a good 15 minutes or so, and we haven't once mentioned Josh Allen. I mean, do we need to see 17 at all for the rest of the preseason? Where do you come down on how many reps he could see here before we get to week one? Does he need to get out there?
So one, the answer is no, he doesn't need to play any preseason whatsoever. I'm fine with it if it's from a warm-up standpoint. Football is football. It, you know, you can only cross your fingers so much. He could, you know, pull Kevin Cobb and could slip on a mat walking out to practice. Like, weird things happen.
Could try He's tackling a tackling dummy like Matt Milano.
Yeah, correct. He could try tackling a tackling dummy. However, I will say I had the pleasure of getting to go to the Bears game. I guess the game wasn't that much of a pleasure, but I had a wonderful time with my family. I was there with my parents. My grandmother was with me, my sister, my nephews. And at one point in the second or third quarter, there was a wide-open guy on a crosser. I think it was Terrell Shavers. He ran a really nice route, and Trubisky just blatantly missed him and just threw it up over his head. And I joked with my family, it's so funny that Josh Allen has just spoiled us so much that when I see a receiver open, I just automatically assume the ball is going to accurately go directly to that player for a nice play. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's what the previous 20 years was like. That's what it was like, is that sometimes we would see guys wide open and the ball would just horribly miss them. And, God, we're spoiled now. It's so nice to have Josh.
We are talking to Greg Thompson, Cover One. Appreciate the time today, Greg. What are you and everybody working on at Cover One that we can go check out here?
So obviously, fairly prescient. Our guys in the film room, Eric Turner and Anthony Prohaska, just did a breakdown of Dorian Williams. So please make sure to go check that out. If you search for Cover One on YouTube, you can see that video up there. They did a breakdown of how he looked in the first preseason game. We'll obviously be going into that a bit more. We'll be talking about some of the things we discussed here today on whether we'll see more three safety looks and what creative solutions could they bake up. I'll have Joe Marino from Locked On Bills on the show with me tonight, kind of going through what we saw in the preseason game. And obviously now talking about Matt Milano and the other things there. So anywhere that you're listening to this great show, you can come find ours as well. So come on over, search for Cover One, and you'll find all of our good work.
Really appreciate the time, Greg. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys.
You got it. There's Greg, Cover One. Greg Thompson, Cover One, as we get his reaction, his thoughts on what could be next for the Bills defense with Matt Milano missing a good chunk of the regular season.
I think he brings up a good point about Milano. And look, the Packett's a big injury, but it's not going to affect his speed when he comes back. So maybe, and I'm offering a really optimistic viewpoint, He can be better, giving him a little more time to recover or just train on his lower body.
Man,
there.
I hope you're right, because as you get older, and you know this and I know this and everybody knows this, it's not easy to be better than you were the year before as you get a year older. And if we're all sitting here hoping that Matt Milano works his ass off and looks like 28-year-old Matt Milano after a torn biceps injury in 2024 – I'm not comfortable believing that. I need to see it. And I don't know that even if I see it, I'll know like, oh yeah, he's definitely better. We could say he's back, but I don't know that I would say he's better. And I'm actually encouraged. I want to see what Dorian Williams, who is younger. I mean, if you talk about that life cycle of a football player, life cycle of a linebacker.
It's not like corner, though. Like, he brings up the
no,
point.
No, it's definitely like, not like corner.
You can be a 30-year-old. Like, that was
for
the
sure.
hope this year.
For sure. I'm not comparing linebacker to corner, but I do think that that just the life cycle of a player in the NFL. When you're Dorian Williams and you really didn't play that much last year, you're fresh. You know that this is a massive opportunity. I think I don't think it's realistic to expect exactly what you got out of Terrell Bernard last year, but something along those lines isn't out of the realm of possibility to me.
Well, yeah, especially when you consider this time last year, oh boy, the Bills' middle linebacker position. Okay, I guess it's Bernard. Here we go. And really, we didn't know from the outside. Everything was just fine. Like, he was going to be okay, and he was at times just great for that Bills' linebacking core last year.
Yeah, I mean, it was Bernard, but we didn't think it was going to be Bernard because we didn't see Bernard at all in the preseason. It was the guy that's in Seattle now.
Oh, gosh.
Why am I blanking on
hold on.
Special teams
yes.
ace? What? Oh, my God. It hurts. It's painful.
I got home at 12:30 last night, so I'm like...
Terrell?
No.
Tyrell?
Wait. Terrell Bernard, Terrell. Remember, it was Terrell Bernard, Terrell. Not Terrell Owens. No. Terrell.
Not Terrell Owens? It wasn't Terrell Owens?
No.
Linebacker?
No. All right. I'm not going to cheat either. This is terrible.
I'm cheating. I am cheating because I'm just downright embarrassed. And oh, I know. I didn't even have to look. Dotson!
Yeah.
Freaking Dotson. Everybody's screaming at their radio like, oh, it's Dotson, you morons. Yes, Dotson. We thought Dotson was going to be the guy last year for a good part of the... This time last year, we thought, we're going to the season with Terrell Dotson. Yikes. Okay, everybody hold on.
For a hot minute, we thought it was Spectre, too, last year.
Spectre, yeah, Spectre early in camp. Yeah. Oh, Spectre last year was very much like what...
what, he was Shavers this year?
Yeah, like Shavers this year. Oh, yeah, Baylen Spectre's making all the
money. And I think of consistency, I think of Baylen Spectre.
Quick break. We'll come back. We've got more on the way here in the sports bar. Ooh,
I've got, and I'll drink to that, actually, an original report here.
An original report?
Yeah, my source.
You have a source.
Bill Belichick. Where was he vacationing recently? Was the new girl there? Spoiler alert. Yes.
Well, we know that he knows his way around Nantucket. I wonder if that's where he was vacationing.
But when... When I tell you what the girlfriend's mom does, maybe this makes sense. Do we get judgy here in the sports zone? Like, if somebody, this is your profession? Like, we want to just kind of have an open mind. Here,
I think we should judge more. Yeah, we should,
judge more.
More harsh criticism and more judgment. I've got a couple of things that came across my feed that I wanted to share. One is a take on the Bills from one of our favorite Sabres guys, and I'll share it with you, and I'll lay it out, and you can give me one of these two scenarios that he believes will happen with the Buffalo Bills, and it can only be one of the two. And then also, Aaron Schatz, ESPN, laying out in his DVOA metric, teams that are going to look like they have a hot start but are going to finish the season in poor shape because of their schedule as it stands right now with the DVOA metric. So in a couple of these teams we've talked about, like, hey, don't be surprised when you look at the schedule. Don't be surprised if X team gets off to a really hot start, but then look at the back end of their schedule and it could get ugly. We'll lay out those teams for you. The Bills are not involved in either of those metrics. We'll discuss that, and we'll have Dan Leberfeld of Jets Confidential also stopping by here during the 4 o'clock hour here in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on the Fan.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
Love talking NFL football this time of year. Football is fast approaching. It's time to get in on the action early this season. I'm Mike Danger for FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 95.7 The Fan. And there's all kinds of different prop bets and futures bets on the NFL right now available to you on FanDuel, whether you're looking for player props, passing yards, touchdowns, rushing, receiving totals. How about team markets like teams to make the playoffs, win the division, or show up in the Super Bowl? You can also play different picks together, parlay them for an even bigger payout in FanDuel. Right now, new customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. There's no better place to get ready for the football season than on FanDuel, America's number one sports book and official sports betting partner of the NFL. Just visit FanDuel.com/Mike to sign up today. That's FanDuel.com/Mike. 21 plus and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Odyssey has sports for every fan. Keep up with your favorite teams from across the country and get the inside scoop from experts. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Odyssey.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!